Amen. Amen. Scripture this morning from Psalm 42, 1 to 6. As a deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that I kept a pilgrim feast. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan and from the heights of Hermon, from the hill Mezar, from the hill Mezar. Amen? Amen.
Thank you, brother. Good morning, everyone. How you doing? Great to see you. It's really good to be together because I know we got a lot of our church family on vacation and out to enjoying this beautiful Minnesota weather. Amen. I mean, yesterday was so awesome, and we savor these days, don't we? We'll remember them in January. All right. Well, great to see you. If you'll turn your copy of God's Word over to the Old Testament book of Psalms, and specifically to Psalm number 32. And as always, there's an outline printed for you in your bulletin. It has a lot of the scriptures we'll be reading in there. It'll help you follow along. As for the next 3 hours, we attempt to answer the question, how can I feel closer to God? You know, I hadn't looked at the outline in a couple of days, and so when I picked it up, I said, boy, that looks long. But it's really not. I assure you, it'll go very fast, and lots of great scriptures in there for you. One day, a minister was in his office, and he received a call from a local mortuary asking him to conduct a graveside service for the grandfather of a very poor family that they were kind of helping out. And the minister was glad to do it, and so he contacted the family to get some information about the man for his eulogy. And finally, the day of the graveside service came, but it was in a little country cemetery far outside of town where the minister had never been there before. And so that day, he just had a terrible time. First thing was his car wouldn't start, and he finally worked on it, and finally he got it going, but then he got terribly lost on the way to the cemetery and finally arrived there over an hour late, you know, and very frustrated. He pulled into the cemetery. He didn't see the family. He didn't see the mortuary personnel. He didn't see the hearse. He didn't see anything except two workmen having lunch under a tree next to a big, fresh pile of dirt and a hole near the office. So the minister drove over there and quickly got out of his car and went over to the hole and conducted an extremely impassioned and moving graveside committal. In fact, the workmen were so moved by what he was saying, they stood up and put their hard hats over their heart and listened respectfully as he talked. And finally, the minister led the closing prayer, and as he was walking back to his car, he overheard one of the workmen say to the other, "Do you think we should have told him that that's a septic tank?" Well, so often in life, you know, in spite of our best intentions, things don't work out the way we plan. This even happens spiritually. I think if we were to ask every one of us here today, if we were to ask, do you want to feel closer to God? All of us would answer yes, because I think that's why you're here. But unfortunately, in spite of our best intentions, we tend to drift. We get distracted. We get busy. We get discouraged. And end up feeling very distant from God. Does that describe your situation today? I mean, I don't know where you are. Maybe you might be in a place today where you feel closer to God than you've ever been. And I would say, praise God. More power to you. I would encourage you that whatever you're doing, keep doing it, okay? Maybe you're here and this is the first time you've been to church in years. And you long for a time in your life when you had that spiritual fire, that passion, where you felt so close to God. You want to get that back, but you don't know how. Maybe you're somewhere in between today. The great news is that no matter where we are in our relationship with God, there are some practical steps that you and I can take to get closer to God and stay closer to God for the rest of our lives. Okay, let's talk about them. Get your outline out. Get ready for this. Ways you and I can feel closer to God. First thing, understand first that God wants to have a close relationship with you. He has already expressed his heart's desire to be close to you. And in fact, he's not only taken the first step, he's basically taken all the steps, except for us to say, Lord, okay, I want to be close to you. In fact, that's the reason you exist. That's the reason he created you, to have a close, loving, intimate, mutual relationship with him forever. I love this scripture, and I love the way the Message paraphrases it. It's on your outline. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, the Apostle Paul wrote, long before he laid down earth's foundations, he had us in mind, had settled on us as the focus of his love, to be made whole and holy by his love. Long, long ago, he decided to adopt us into his family through Jesus Christ. What pleasure he took in planning this. Did you get that? That long before in eternity, long before time began, before anything else was ever created, God had you in mind. He knew you, he knew he was going to make you, and he already knew he was going to love you and wanted to spend all eternity with you. You know, a lot of the other versions put it this way, that God wanted to adopt us as his children. You know, the physical, emotional, and spiritual bond between a biological parent and child in a healthy, wholesome relationship as God designed it is spiritually very mysterious. You know, there's just some kind of connection that we don't understand between father and child, between mother and child. But you know, when you think about it, adoption has an even more mysterious and spiritual quality. I think this story illustrates why. I've told it to you before. Told you about a couple of young boys who were brothers. And when they became old enough to understand, the parents told them that one of them was adopted. One day, the boys were arguing as siblings do, and in a moment of immature, unthinking anger, one of the boys yelled at the other, oh yeah, well everyone knows you're adopted. To which his brother replied, oh yeah, that just means mom and dad had to take you, but they chose me. God chose you. All of you and me. Don't get hung up on the predestination issue or problem. Every human being that's ever been created, that's ever taken breath on this earth, was predestined to have an eternal relationship with God in his loving arms. However, it would mean nothing if it wasn't voluntary. And so God allowed us to choose whether or not we want to fulfill that destiny. And unfortunately, some of us choose not to. But I love what Christian author Catherine Walden said. She put it so well, so I put this quote on your outline. She said, God isn't an emotionless vending machine in the sky. He wants our hearts. And above all else, he wants us to make his heart, he wants to make his heart known to us. Don't be afraid to draw near to God. He lavishes his gifts upon us for no other reason than he desires to pour out his love in us and through us. So when you think about getting closer to God, understand that he's already made the first move. He wants to be closer to you. Okay? Number two, second way you can feel closer to God is realize that you can choose how close to God you will be. Did you get that? The choice, it's up to you. How close do you want to be to God? Look at James 4:8 on your outline. Here it is. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Isn't that exciting? I mean, God has given you a choice that no circumstance, no problem, no person in this world can take away from you. And that's the decision of how close you want to be to God. So today, I'm encouraging you, make that intentional choice to be close to God and then take action. And that means doing the things that we'll talk about that will result in feeling closer to God. And we'll talk about a lot of them here in just a few minutes, but James mentions one very important one here. He says, basically, the first thing you need to do is take out the garbage in your life. What's he mean? Finally, deal with that sin, that selfishness, that lust, that greed, that worry, that rage, that addiction, whatever it is that has put that barrier between you and God, that has created that distance, deal with it. Because see, Isaiah 59:2 is on your outline, but your sins have separated you from God. But here's the great news. All you have to do is own up to those. Admit them. Repent of them. Face them. And you and I can be free from them. And the barriers and the distance will be removed. If you haven't already, look at Psalm 32. And what a great scripture. So many layers of blessing in this. But this is the psalm that David wrote after his dastardly sin of sleeping with another man's wife, getting her pregnant, and then having that man killed. This is what he wrote. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. He says, I'm going to tell you about a time that I was very distant from God and what I did about it. He goes on, when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. I was dying. But then I acknowledged my sin to you. I didn't cover up the iniquity. I said, I'm going to confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you while you may be found. Surely, when the mighty waters rise, they will not reach him. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. What did David do? He said, by admitting what I had done, that removed the barrier, the distance that had been between me and my God. Now, there's more to that, but that's the beginning place today. Just admit that stuff to your loving and forgiving God. I'm reminded of the story of the older couple who was nearing their 50th wedding anniversary. And this was back when cars, the front seats of cars, had bench seats. I don't know how many of you remember that. And three people could sit in the front. And there was actually a place in the middle that the person could sit next to the driver. And there were actually some seat belts there. It was designed that way. And so now as the husband drove, though, his wife, you know, sat all the way pressed up against the passenger door. And one day she wistfully said to her husband, "Hun, you remember those days when we were dating? And, you know, and when we would drive and take a ride and you were driving and I would sit right next to you, close to you, and snuggle up with you. Why don't we do that anymore?" And the husband replied, "Well, I'm not really sure, but I know one thing. I haven't moved." If you feel distant from God, I can assure you today, He hasn't moved. We're the ones that move. Claim the promise. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. Third way. I love this. Third way to feel close to God is recognize that God is close to you regardless of how you feel. He's close to you. Jeremiah 17:9 says that the human heart, our emotions, our moods, are not only difficult to understand, they lie to us. They are deceptive. So when it comes to how close you're feeling to God, don't trust your circumstances, your moods, or even physical fatigue. Can make us feel crummy and far from God. I would encourage you today, no matter how you're feeling, focus on the facts of the matter. Get that firmly in your mind, no matter how you feel. Here's the idea. Look at Romans 12:2 on your outline. The Apostle Paul says, "Don't be like the people of this world, but let God change the way you think. Then you will know how to do everything that is good and pleasing to Him." I love this because he says, let the Lord transform, metamorpho, where do we get our word from? You know, metamorphosis, which describes a radical change. We use that to describe how an ugly, you know, gross caterpillar becomes a beautiful butterfly. That's how much change is in store. And he says here, look, any real change in your lives is going to begin in your mind with your thoughts. Let God change them. Because your thoughts will determine how you feel. And how you feel will determine how you behave. So today, if you're feeling far from God, here's a scripture to focus your mind on. Psalm 34:18. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those whose spirits have been crushed. Why is that important? Because when we're broken, when we're crushed, that's often the time that we feel farthest from God. But this scripture said that's when he's the closest. Our feelings can't be trusted. Focus on the truth and the facts. Number four, consider the benefits of having a close friendship with God. This is, the great news is this is good for us. Here's just some of them. Oh, I love this. Psalm 103, verses 2 to 5 is on your outline. With all my heart, I praise the Lord. I'll never forget how kind he's been. Lord forgives our sins, heals us when we're sick, protects us from death. His kindness and love are a crown on our heads. Each day that we live, he provides our needs and gives us the strength of a young eagle. That's yours, if you want it. You know, take it. Here's the bottom line, friends. The farther you are from God, the more problems you're going to have in your life. The more stress, anxiety, insecurity, relational conflicts you're going to experience. Why? Because you're disconnected from his best plan for you and the power to fulfill that plan. Now, the closer you are to him, you'll have trouble, no doubt about that. But you'll also have more inner strength and peace and security and harmony and hope to cope in your life, in your marriage, in your family, and on the job. Remember the benefits of being close to God. And finally, fifth way to feel close to God is commit to a lifestyle that'll keep you close to God. Look, closeness with God is not an event. It is a life. And this is where you put your choice into action. Because I think we sort of make a relationship with God a lot more mysterious than it really needs to be. Actually, a relationship with God requires the same things that anything that's worthwhile in life or a good relationship with another human being. And that is developing the lifelong habits that'll get us and keep us closer to God. I would encourage you on a regular basis, just as you, hopefully you do, now I know us guys have a problem with this, but you go on a somewhat regular basis to the doctor for a checkup. Amen? I hope so. You know, even you guys. I know we avoid it, but we need it. Because what we also need are those regular spiritual checkups on ourselves, or maybe by a trusted friend. Here's a great scripture, 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, check up on yourselves. Are you really Christians? Do you pass the test? Do you feel Christ's presence and power more and more within you? Or are you just pretending to be Christians when actually you aren't at all? We need that. Okay? Here are some simple yet profound components of a lifestyle that will result in the closeness you want. Number one is study, hearing from God. I mean, these are not revolutionary, okay? These are common elements of what we all know of as discipleship, okay? But you cannot have and maintain a close relationship with someone you don't listen to, right? You and I must hear from God in some way on a regular basis. Now, whatever form that takes, for some of you, it will mean reading through the Bible in the year. More power to you. For some of you, it may mean just taking the outline every week and reviewing the scriptures and ideas in there and just internalizing them in your heart. It may be using a devotional book that takes you through the scriptures in some way. Okay, however you do it, you need to hear from God on a daily basis. Here's a great scripture, Psalm 43:3. Send me your light and truth to guide me. Let them lead me to your holy mountain, where you live. His word actually leads us into his presence, into feeling close to him. Number two, prayer. Talking to God. Again, you can't have a relationship with someone you talk to for 5 minutes a day or 5 minutes a week or 5 minutes a month. No wonder you feel detached and distant. And so it is with God. And prayer at its most basic level is nothing more than a conversation between friends. Anytime, any place. I mean, I like to think of it as just almost a constant Wi-Fi connection. You know, where you begin your day with "Dear Heavenly Father" and fall into bed and end it with "In Jesus' name, amen." And everything in between is prayer. Here's the promise. Look on your outline, Jeremiah 29, verse 13. "When you come looking for me, you'll find me. Yes, when you get serious about finding me and want it more than anything else, God's not playing some kind of cosmic game of hide and seek with us. He wants to be close to you. Do we really want to be close to him?" Another key to feeling close to God is worship, praising of God. And this is both the corporate worship that we're doing here today and the personal worship that we do. You know, the verse I'm going to read you is so powerful, but think of it. We understand this, that God planned it this way, that we need this to feel close to him. That's why so often you don't feel like coming on Sunday morning. Or is that just me? Okay, I repent of that then, all right? You know, but sometimes you don't. And you think, oh, you kind of drag yourself here, I don't want to be here. And then the worship uplifts you and you feel like, man, this is great, I'm so glad I came. And you leave feeling closer to God, and more like Jesus and more filled with his Spirit. God designed it that way. And here's the scripture that tells us why. And this one, I love the way the old King James phrases it. I put it on your outline. Psalm 22, verse 3. "But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel." You get that? God inhabits the praises of his people. He lives there. And so when you start praising him, whether it's by yourself or in the context of the corporate worship, the worship of the body, God is here in a very special way. We also need fellowship, connecting with God's people. Matthew 18:20, "When two or three of you are together because of me, you can be sure I'll be there." Just something mysterious and supernatural happens when God's people are together, and not just worshiping, but just hanging out, whatever form that takes. That's the place where your faith, your values are affirmed. And those people bring the best out in you, and you feel closer to God. And finally, is service. And that's living like God. That's often the missing piece, P-E-A-C-E, of our relationship with God. A lot of people say, well, I'm doing all of those things. And I'll ask respectfully, are you serving others in some way in the name of Jesus? Here's the parable. In Matthew 25:40, "And God is the king in the parable. And the king will answer, whenever you did it for any of my people, no matter how unimportant they seemed, you did it for me." When you serve that person that couldn't do anything back for you, you know, they couldn't pay you back in any way, but you did it in my name, you know what? I was there because it was like you were doing it for me. God is present in our service. When we serve, we actually feel closer to him. You know, one of my favorite authors and speakers, actually, is Lee Strobel. In his book, God's Outrageous Claims, He shares a story about a Christian man who lived next door to a husband and wife who were not believers, and he reached out to them, but they never really responded, and unfortunately the neighbor's wife contracted cancer and died, leaving the husband absolutely devastated. But sometime later, the man wrote a letter describing how his Christian neighbor ministered to him and how it changed his life. He wrote, "I was in total despair. I went through the funeral preparations and the service like I was in a trance. And after the service, I went to the pass along the river and walked all night. But I did not walk alone. My neighbor, afraid for me, I guess, stayed with me all night. He did not speak. He didn't even walk beside me. He just followed me. And when the sun finally came up over the river, he came over to me and said, 'Let's go get some breakfast.' I go to church now, my neighbor's church. A religion that can produce the kind of caring and love my neighbor showed me is something I want to know more about. I want to be like that. I want to love and be loved like that for the rest of my life. Tell me that after ministering to someone in that way, that you wouldn't feel closer to God. Tell me that after doing something, anything, in the name of Jesus for somebody else, that you won't feel more like a true conduit of his love and presence and grace flowing into the lives of others. It doesn't have to be that dramatic or earth-shattering. Any service done in the name of Jesus, God shows up and is present through you and with you and for you. So, here's the simple promise that I leave with you today. If you want to feel closer to God, come close to God, and God will come close to you. While we stand and sing. Have you